So today's topic is faith. Faith is one of those words we use in many different ways, and it has lots of different meanings. Today we're going to look at what the author, the writer, what I call the preacher in the book of Hebrews talks about by faith. This isn't everything there is to say about faith. There's lots that could be said about the topic. But I want to look at particular this chapter, chapter 11 in Hebrews, and what it tells us about faith and what it looks like to live by faith. So this is part of a longer series on the letter to the Hebrews, or what it's often known to as a sermon, really, to the people. And it focuses on who Jesus is, and then especially using the picture of Jesus as a high priest, the one who goes to God for us and mediates and then invites us into God's presence. It's a letter, a sermon to a group of people who are struggling, who were going through hard times, who were wanting to persevere because there was persecution, or at times they had questions about what they believed. There was the danger of drifting away from their faith. And so as we read, or as we really listen to Hebrews, we're hearing words of encouragement, and hopefully words of encouragement to us also. And so as we're coming into chapter 11 and this passage that we read, I want to look at the end of chapter 10 and how it builds into this and where it prepares us for this long section in chapter 11, this long picture, this song of what it looks like to live in faith. So the end of chapter 10, verse 35, it says this: "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." It's talking about the confidence that the people have because they know Jesus is for them. Jesus is on their side and saying, don't give up on that. Because when you maintain that confidence, you will have a reward. And it goes on and then says, verse 36, you need to persevere. This is that keeping on, continuing on, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And the promises were spelled out earlier in the sermon: salvation and inheritance at last, rest with God. And so it's a call to say, when you get weary, when you get tired, you need to hang in there. You need to persevere. And he says, for in just a little while, he who is coming, speaking of Jesus, will come and will not delay. And this is kind of a reminder why the perseverance is needed, that Jesus came, he offered his life, and he's coming back again, but we're living in the in-between time. And that requires perseverance. It requires waiting. It's that sense of Jesus is coming back at some point to make all things right and to bring all these promises to their completion. But we're not there yet. So we need perseverance. And then it finishes with this: and but my righteous one will live by faith. He's quoting from the prophet Habakkuk. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. And it says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. And it's almost this word of encouragement to people. It's like he's speaking to them and saying, we're not one of those ones who shrink back, one of those ones who give up, one of those who don't complete or turn away. Shrink back is that sense of you're getting near the end of it and then you stop. You give up on the project. You turn away from the responsibility and you don't endure. And he's speaking to this congregation and saying, we're not that type. We don't belong to those, but instead we have faith and are saved. And this faith comes from God. He said that earlier in chapter 10, where it talked about how the work of Jesus does this. It said, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, that Jesus has made us and given us this faith, and Jesus is the faith that we have. And this faith will keep us from destruction. So this preacher is speaking and he realizes what the congregation needs, realizes what this group of people needs to hear, and realizes that they don't just need slogans. If he were speaking to people today, he might say, you need more than just a t-shirt or a coffee mug that says this. You need something real to hang on to. You need examples to understand what it looks like. Maybe like people today, they see the idea of faith as something intangible. Faith is one of those words we use, and it's like, how do you describe what faith is? And we try and come up with different ways. Or sometimes faith is seen as simply wishful thinking. Or they might wonder if they're capable. He's speaking to a congregation that's going through difficult times and challenges, and he's calling them to have faith. And maybe you've been in that sort of situation where there's something hard going on in your life, an illness, difficulties with a friend or a family member. And someone's speaking to you and they're trying to encourage you and they tell you, well, have faith. Which has lots of different things, but sometimes you wonder to yourself, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I have the strength to do that. And so what the preacher is doing here is saying, I want to encourage you to what it looks like to have faith. And this isn't the first time in Hebrews he's talked about faith. But he really wants to drive it home here. And as we enter into chapter 11, it enters into this soaring thing. You can almost feel, if it were a sermon being preached, the thing building. He's been doing chapters 5 through 10 as this long theological exposition of Jesus as the high priest and Melchizedek and sacrifices and going in and out of the temple. And the people are starting to get a little droopy in their eyelids and they're starting to wonder and say, where are you going with this, pastor? And then the sermon starts to soar and it's this powerful thing. And what I would encourage you to do with chapter 11, Bobby Joe didn't read the whole thing and we asked her not to. We could have, but it's a long passage. I would encourage you to go back sometime this week and read the whole chapter. Read these stories, or better yet, even listen to it. Because even when we listen, there's a difference in that way we pick up the cadence and how it goes. Read it and listen to it. And if you want to go even deeper, then look up those stories. So when it talks about, in the first section, by faith, Abel brought a better offering. Well, who's Abel? Well, go and look up Abel and that story found in the book of Genesis, or it talks about Enoch. Go and look up that story and read through the story and you begin to get a better picture. Now, you could read chapter 11 just by itself and get blessed by it, but I think if you go back and look into these stories, you'll see something even more. Now, today we're not going to have time to look at each one of these stories. That's not my goal, is to look at each one of these stories, because we would be here till Friday to look at each of these stories and what it looks like to live by faith. But instead, we're going to kind of look at the big picture of what the preacher is getting at here. What faith is, about what the preacher says faith is and isn't. Again, this isn't all that we can say about faith. But remember what the writer, what the preacher is doing. It's part of a sermon to encourage people, to keep them on the way. And it begins with this memorable description, this powerful description of faith in chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence. And some will say there's some different ways that's translated, but this is a good way of translating. But faith has a foundation. That's what it's saying. The faith has a foundation, and that foundation is in what God has done. That's the foundation for our faith. It's based on what God has done. And it comes from observation. It comes from stories. It comes from revelation from God. And because of those past actions, we have assurance of confidence for the future. So faith is something that looks at the past and builds on that, but then looks to the future because of that. And I like the way John Chrysostom, who was a preacher back in the late 300s, said Christ foretold many things. If those former things did not come to pass, then do not believe them. But if they all came to pass, why doubt concerning those that remain? In other words, God has been faithful in so many things, so don't doubt him about things in the future. And that's the nature of faith, is looking at these past actions where it says faith is confidence in what we hope for. And we have confidence in what we hope for because of what God has done in the past. So faith looks backwards, but allows us hope to look forward. Faith is based on the past, but it isn't just about the past. We look forward to what we hope for. We've seen God's actions in the past, and these are the basis for confidence, the assurance of what we do not see. It's a sense of we see certain things. We see what God has done, and because of that, we have assurance of the things we do not see. And what we don't see is the future. What we don't see is what's exactly going on. So as we think about it, I want to begin just simply with what faith is not, at least when the preacher here is talking. Faith is not simply a creed, simply what we believe. That's a part of faith, is what we believe. We when we celebrate the Lord's Supper here at Fruitland Covenant, we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And that's what we believe. But faith is more than just what we believe. Faith is not a leap into the unknown. Sometimes faith is described as, well, faith and facts don't go together. They do go together, and that's not what this is saying. And faith is not simply a devotion to whatever God. Kind of like, well, just have faith, and meaning it doesn't matter what you have faith in, just have faith. That's not what we're talking about here. But we read on and we see that faith is something lived. And so if we pay attention to it, we hear this, and we see these people living their life, and what they're doing is they're moving towards the future. I get one way I heard it defined, which I like, is faith is living as though what I believe is true. Faith is living as though what I believe is true, acting as if God is real in a situation which it really matters. And so we read these stories. I'm going to just highlight some of what happens in chapter 11. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place where he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. By faith, Moses' parents hid him. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea. By faith, Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed. You get a sense of what's going on and what's happening here with these people. And what did you notice about all those people? Yeah, one of the things is we realize that faith involved what? It involved doing something. It involved the different things they were doing. The other thing we can notice is we think about what kind of people were in the story. And if you know the stories of the Bible, you realize that one of the things is there were all kinds of different people, weren't there? I mean, we heard about Abel, and we heard about Noah and Abraham. There's other people who aren't named. One of the things we notice is there are all kinds of different people. Now, are they commended for all of their life? No. They're commended for specific things. These are people with flaws. They weren't commended for a perfect life, but they were commended for their faith. And so I think as we read these stories, we hear this, one of the things we realize is if they can be praised for their faith, if these people can have faith, maybe I can too. That it's possible for me to trust and bear the fruit of faithfulness. That in some sense we see that God works extraordinary things through ordinary people, people who have faith. But that brings the question, what does faith look like? As this is describing it, what is the writer, what is the preacher, what is the author saying what faith is? Because if you read through it, I didn't count how many times, you hear the word by faith again and again, and you say, so what does that mean by faith? And the preacher, the writer doesn't give a definition, but instead what? Tells stories. And so I was looking through those stories, thinking, what are some of the things we learn about what faith looks like? One of the things is faith is a response to an unseen God and his promises. We say that this is response to God. Faith isn't looking around, but again, most of the time it's the people hearing God or hearing God's commands or knowing something God, and they're responding to God and to his promises. There is thinking involved, for sure. They consider those things, and so Sarah talks about, Sarah considered God faithful. But there's thinking, but then after the thinking, there's action. So faith is a response. That's kind of the second part. Faith is lived or acted. These were tangible expressions of obedience. If you hear all those things, what did they do? They risked lives. They made offerings. They crossed the Red Sea. They did all these things. This is confident action. They didn't, as the writer said, shrink back. They didn't hold off, but instead they acted. They did things based on those promises of God. Another thing we can say about faith is for all kinds of situations. As you read the stories, there's stories of wars, there's stories of rescue, there's stories of death. But even in the midst of it, part of the section we read, it says, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. It was about sometimes just those difficult times in life. Faith isn't simply about those big times. Certainly some of these stories get to end like, oh, there was that moment where they had to walk through the Red Sea. There was the moment where they had to bring down the walls. There was the moment of doing these grand things. But faith is also for the ordinary in the everyday life. Because the preacher here is speaking to a group of people back then and to now. That we aren't all called to lead a people out of slavery. We aren't all called to go and to preach from a mountain or to bring down the laws of God. We aren't all called to give our lives for the faith, but we're all called to live by faith. And so part of the grand scope of all these stories is to say faith is about all of life. Faith is for all kinds of situations. But an important part of that is realizing faith can have a variety of outcomes. What do I mean by that? What we see in this world, so for example, in chapter 11, verse 35, it says, women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. But as you read some of these stories, what you realize is some of them, it sounds like faith failed. Because we have a picture sometimes of what it means to live by faith. To live by faith means that we're going to succeed, that we're going to do whatever. But some of these people died. Some of them, again, wandered in deserts and mountains, lived in caves and holes in the ground. In other words, what we see is that God didn't show up maybe like the way they wanted, but they were faithful. We see their faith. They weren't saved from death in some cases, but they had faith in a resurrection. So living by faith doesn't always mean the outcome is exactly what we want. Because sometimes, this is so important, because sometimes to people suggesting a bad, sometimes people suggest a bad outcome is due to a lack of faith. If things don't work out right, well, there must be a lack of faith. Or the flip side sometimes is, oh, if you just have faith, you'll do well and you'll live your best life now. I want to remind you again, here's the people who live by faith. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. And they were commended for their faith. So living by faith doesn't mean our lives automatically go well. It also means we can't look at someone else's life and pretend to judge like, oh, they must not be living by faith because look at their life. And what we see is there is this variety of outcomes. And so a corollary to this is this simple thing. Faith is not easy. You think, really, Pastor, I came on Sunday morning to hear you tell me that? Because I already knew that. Faith is not easy. It's not a matter of, oh, just have faith. Don't ever say that to someone, please. Just have faith. It's hard because we live in the midst of these paradoxes. Living in faith is filled with what feels like contradictions. And so I like the way John Calvin, a theologian, pastor theologian from the early 1500s said it this way. We are assured of a happy resurrection, but we are as yet involved in corruption. We are pronounced just, as yet sin dwells in us. We hear that we are happy, but we are as yet in the midst of many miseries. An abundance of good things are promised to us, but still we often hunger and thirst. God proclaims that he will come quickly, but he seems deaf when we cry to him. He's speaking about that challenge, that paradox of faith is that we know one thing, but sometimes we experience something different. And this is where that idea of the confidence in what we do not see yet, of recognizing these promises of God and that we haven't received all the promises. It says in verse 39, these were all commended for their faith. This is the end of the chapter, looking back at all these things. Yet none of them received what had been promised. They received partial promises, but had not received all of it. Some are for the future. And this is what it's getting at, is our faith is looking towards the future, that the promises, the reception is not all in the present. So for example, we come to church often, and one of the things we often gather in church for is for a funeral. We gather and there's a casket there with a body inside of it. And part of the Christian funeral, we proclaim that Christ has defeated death. And it's this strange paradox, isn't it? Because there we proclaim that Christ has defeated death while we're looking at someone who has died. And so it's a sense of faith of saying, we have not yet fully received the promise in full, that death still exists, but we have faith and we say, but that's what we're looking forward to because of the past. And what is the past we're looking back to? That Jesus Christ gave his life on a cross, was buried in a tomb for 3 days, and then God raised him from the dead. And because of that act, we can have hope for the future. We can look back at that. We can see that and see the life that comes from that. And then we can, in the midst of the pain and the sorrow of a funeral, have faith that that isn't the end of the story. And in part, another thing is faith recognizes this is not our home. So in verse 16, it says this, instead they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. They were looking for a better country. In other words, our hope, our confidence is in one place only, and that's in God and in his city. That nothing in our earthly life can satisfy. It's a reminder of our home and the values we called to live by. And so faith recognizes that this world we're living in is not our home. It's a place we're called to live and to act out in faith, but it's not the end. Final one, as we think about it, faith is rewarded by God. Now, when we hear that, we have to remember what we just said a few minutes ago. That reward may not look the same here on earth. That the reward may not happen here on earth. Because if we read those people, they were put to death by stoning, they were sawed in two, they were killed by the sword. Now, we're not to think, hey, look at that guy getting sawed in two. He's getting that reward from God. What's the reward from God? The reward is the better resurrection that he's awaiting. And in each case, some of these people, they ended up in places and they did not fully see what God had promised them. But they lived by faith and they would gain their reward. And so in the same way, when we live by faith, we gain a reward from God. Sometimes we'll see part of that reward here. There'll be some of that partial reward. We live by faith and we see something happening in this life. We see a friend giving their life to Jesus. We see a ministry that flourishes and grows. We see other people's lives being changed and the faith comes in. And we see things happening in our own life. But sometimes living by faith, we don't see those things in this life. But we cling to faith because we know God has a reward for us. And the reward that he ultimately promises is rest with him, his salvation, his eternal life in his presence. That's the reward we're hanging on to. So when the preacher says at the end of chapter 10, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. That's the ultimate reward for those things. And so as we look at it, what the preacher wants us to see, that this life of faith, that it's possible. That it's possible to live by faith, even when it doesn't feel like it. That it's based on who God is and what he's done. And it's our response to live by faith. I like George Guthrie said it this way. Asking about faith and kind of a question we can ask ourselves. How would you and I live today if we believed absolutely that God existed and loved us completely and has a destination for us that make all the world pale by just one square foot of its turf? How would you and I live today if we believed absolutely that God existed and loved us completely and had a destination for us that made all the world pale by just one square foot of its turf? So that's what it's saying, is like how we live is a reflection of faith. realizing what God has offered to us. So what does faith look like in your life? I can't tell you for each one of you what faith would look like. But what it is living in the light of the future. It's living in the light of what God has done in the past and what God is bringing to the future. And part of what we see in these stories is when many of these people acted from one perspective, what they did makes no sense. So Abraham, one of the stories, or we can take Noah even. Noah, look at that one. Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Now, we don't know exactly what it looked like, but he built a really, really big boat. That takes time. And imagine in the days before there were sawmills and before all those things and having to cut down trees and mill them and saw them and construct this giant ark. Probably while there are no clouds on the horizon, nothing happening. And we often see it in our children's stories, and we're not told how the people responded around him. But we can guess that most of the people watching him build an ark would say, that doesn't make any sense. What are you doing? But he's living in the light of the future. Abraham is invited to go to a land, and Abraham has a bunch of things where God says to Abraham, go to a land, I'll show you. Well, where? I'll show you when you get there. Then he gets there. Well, what do you want me to do next? Well, I'll show you. And it's this series of steps that don't make sense in the moment, but they make sense in light of the future. Noah building an ark made sense in light of the future. Abraham going to this land made sense in light of the future. The people giving up their lives and sacrificing themselves made sense in light of the future because they knew God held a better resurrection for them. God held a new life for them. And so as we think about our lives and what it looks like to live by faith, there are things about living by faith that won't make sense in the present. There's part of living by faith that won't make sense to people around you. Does it make sense to always forgive people? One of the central commands of Jesus is to forgive people, to pray for and bless your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you and love them. Now, in the world in which we live, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It doesn't seem logical to do that. It would be so much better to punch back, to fight, and to knock them down. But in light of the future in which all things are reconciled, in which Christ has brought all things under his feet, it makes sense to begin living into that now. As Christians, we're called to live a generous life, to look at our resources as not our own, to give them away, to use them generously, to bless other people, to be an encouragement, to find ways to do that. In light of the current circumstances, it may not make sense. We may look around and begin to wonder and say, well, I think I need to save a little bit more because the world's going all haywire. I need to save a little bit because there's these events that are happening and I'm uncertain about them. It may just simply seem there's a message saying to us, it doesn't make sense. Why would you spend money to bring water to people in Congo? You'll never meet those people. What difference does it make? But we're living in light of the future. We're living in the light of God's past. We're living in the light of the future in which God will look back on our lives. We're living in light of the future in which some of those people, many of whom are Christians, we will join together with in the future. So living in the light of the future will make a difference to us right now. And so when we look at our lives and say, what does it look like to live by faith? Or maybe you're asking the question, am I living by faith? Is my life demonstrating faith right now? One question you might ask yourself, is there anything in my life, in the way I'm living, that just doesn't make sense based on the present, but can only make sense in light of God's future? And so that's what it looks like to live by faith, is to live as if what God said is really true. To live as if what I believe, that I believe that what I believe is really true. And so when we look at fear around us, and it's scary because there's fear all around. Fear is calling us, but we're invited to answer to a different call. And the call is to have faith in the one who is faithful. To have faith which is based on solid evidence. That's where it goes. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That there's a solid foundation for the faith, and the faith is Jesus. The faith is God and what he has done. And we're hanging to that. It's not about what we work up, what we manage to bring up from our own inside and muscle up enough faith inside of it, but it's based on who God is and what we see in the risen Christ. And so we're called as we hear these stories to live a life of faith, to see our current circumstances in light of the future, in light of a future where God will make all things right, in light of a future where we will stand before God, in light of a future where we will be raised again from the dead because of Jesus Christ. And so we live our life now in light of that future. That's what faith is. And we hear these crazy stories of all these people doing these things. And in those, we're encouraged to say, that's what faith looks like. Faith looks like seeing the current circumstances and realizing that what God wants me to do may not make sense in light of the present circumstances. It may not make sense to anyone around us. It may not even make sense to us in the moment unless we see the future that God has promised. And that's what the writer is calling us to. That's what the preacher is calling us to. That's what God is calling us to live a life of faith, to live today in light of God's future, his incredible future that he's given us in Jesus. Amen.